Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you as we are getting towards the end of our week discussing John chapter 12. And there's just been so many themes that have really come out of these two amazing sentences. You know, we've read about six verses and really focused in on two sentences. And so I want to encourage you to go back and spend some time listening to the episodes that we've had this week, reading the passage on your own. Just as a reminder, whatever passages we're reading here, I want to encourage you to also read in your own prayer time, to take them to the Lord on your own, write about them in your journal, ask the Holy Spirit to bring you insights about what is God saying to you. And it might be very similar to what he's speaking to us communally, but also we just want to get in the practice of being in God's word together and then being in God's word individually, of saying, you know what is God saying to us? What is God saying to me? And how do I practice opening up my Bible in my own prayer time, underlining the things that are sticking out to me and saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me individually. Holy Spirit, speak to me individually. And we ended yesterday by saying, Jesus reveals the glory of the Father through his death. And for many of us, we're not going to be physically martyred, but our life is a death of the will, of dying to our own preferences, our own passions, dying to the old man, and submitting our lives to the will of the Father who loves us. And when we do this, God's glory shines through. It shines through in the death of self. It shines through when we put him first, when we love him first. And so how can we follow Jesus' example and allow the Father to be glorified in us? How am I allowing the Father to be glorified in me today? It's a beautiful question. And so we're going to continue on in John chapter 12, continue to see what Jesus is saying to us. But first we're going to read Psalm 124 as we open in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Let Israel say, if the Lord had not been at our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven. Lord Jesus, open our minds to your word today. Open our hearts to your word. Speak to us individually. Confront us with your word that we would leave here changed, that we'd be inspired to walk in a new way, and this would actually bear fruit in our behavior, in our relationships, and in our lives. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Really quickly, I love this in Psalm 24, these two. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. I just feel like that is such a good anthem for us. And I think of so many times in my life where it's just that saying of, if the Lord had not been on my side, if the Lord had not been with me. And it's a way to call to mind really the deeds of the Lord. If the Lord had not been on my side, if he had not been with me, if he had not fought for me, where would I be if the Lord would not have been on my side? And so I just encourage you, take a few minutes today and kind of make that your refrain. Make that the thing that you say. Think of those times in your life where the Lord has brought you through it, where he's protected you, where he's been on your side. The Lord is always on your side. And I just love that David is telling, he's saying, let Israel say this. Let Israel speak this out loud. If the Lord had not been on our side. And it's so funny because the Israelites, they forget so quickly that the Lord is on their side, right? They go out of Egypt through the parted waters and then they're like, oh man, this is too hard, you know? And they forget that the Lord was on their side. And that's just like us. We need to remind ourselves over and over and over again. If the Lord had not been with me, where would I be if the Lord had not been by my side? And even write it down. It's a way of like having gratitude and then having this anthem rise up in us. If the Lord had not been with us, if the Lord had not been on our side. It's so, so good. And so we're going to go back to John chapter 12. We're going to read. I'm going to start with verse 23. 12:23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." The Father will honor him if anyone serves me. So good. So we talked about yesterday, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. We talked about that yesterday. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. What I was also thinking about here, and I just want to say very quickly, is Jesus is using this imagery of grain and of wheat falling to the earth and dying and bearing much fruit, which is such a beautiful image, particularly because Jesus will give us himself in bread and in wine. He will be the bread of life for us. And so he's this wheat that is ground. He's this wheat that falls to the ground and dies and is given to us through the sacrifice of the Mass, this wheat that has borne much fruit. The wheat that has fallen to the ground and dies is also the Eucharist. And the church fathers have some amazing things to say on this passage. St. Cyril of Alexandria says this. He says he calls himself the grain of wheat, for he is the life-giving bread that came down from heaven. By his death, he bore much fruit, for the multitude of believers throughout the world has been brought forth by his resurrection. He is the life-giving bread. And then there's a multitude of believers that come forth from his death and they receive that life-giving bread. Origen says this, "The grain of wheat is Christ himself, who unless he had died would have remained alone, but who through his death and resurrection bore much fruit in the salvation of many." The grain of wheat is Christ himself. The grain of wheat of Christ himself. He speaks of his death, knowing that it will bear much fruit. And he endured this for the salvation of the world. He endures it for the salvation of the world. And then 25, he says something very interesting. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus says something similar before. He says, "Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me." He's saying these phrases that are so hard. And so he's saying, follow me. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, this is what it means to have glory. This is what it means to be glorified in the kingdom, is to die. And guess what? Even furthermore, if you love your life here, if you hold on to your life, if you grip onto your life here, you will lose it. It goes back to that surrender that we need to have with the Father. And he's saying, if you don't surrender to my plan, friends, there's a way that we can go on in our lives believing what God says about us, wanting God, and we can still remain closed off, loving our life and being afraid to lose it. There's so many steps God is asking us to take. There's so many things that the Lord is asking us to do that oftentimes we don't do out of fear because we want to keep our lives. We're saying, what will happen to me? Will I be safe? Will I get what I need? All of these different things. And we hold on. We hold on tight to our lives, to the love of our lives. And we love our lives more than we love Christ. He's saying, he who loves his life, not like, oh, I love my life, I'm having fun, I love the people in my life. Not in that way, but putting this attachment to their lives. This is what the saints did not do. And I was thinking about this because I was able to see this amazing movie called The Triumph of the Heart, which is about St. Maximilian Kolbe. And I love St. Maximilian Kolbe. And there's a way that after the saints like live their lives, we're like, oh yeah, like later on, we're like, oh, their life is so epic. That's so amazing. Like, I want to do something epic for God. Like, I want to lose my life for God. And then you see what Maximilian Kolbe actually did. And it was profoundly simple, profoundly difficult, profoundly hidden. He starved with 10 other men in a cell, day after day, praying, singing songs to the Lord, wasting away. This hidden suffering. And so we actually look at his life and we're like, that doesn't look glorious. That doesn't look good. That doesn't look amazing. And the people at the time, they weren't like, oh, that's so amazing. They were like, this is crazy. It was this hiddenness in a cell underground. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. But he fell to the ground and he died. He gave his life. And later on, 100 years later, people are rejoicing over his life. A handful of years later, St. John Paul II makes him a saint. And people are like, oh, he lived this epic life. Even the saints that were canonized lived very recently. They lived very simple lives. St. Carlo Acutis wasn't a saint because he made a website. He didn't. That's not what made him a saint. He wasn't a saint because he made a cool Eucharistic miracle website. He was a saint because he was totally abandoned to God. He was a saint because he gave himself over to God. And he said, God, I love you so much. Do whatever you want with me. And ultimately, he got cancer and he suffered and he died, but he submitted his life to God. Saint Pier Giorgio was not a saint just because he did mountain climbing, you know, and he did it for God and he had a cool youth group and because he did ministry to the poor. Those are all amazing things, but he submitted his life to God and he said, God, anything for you, I'm willing to lose my life in this world. It looked profoundly simple. Mother Teresa, her life wasn't exciting. It wasn't this crazy life. It was every day loving the person in front of her. It was every day picking up the person with maggots, crawling around in their wounds, serving those who maybe had a bad attitude towards her, living with the poorest of the poor in horrible conditions each day, finding Jesus in the poor. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't epic in the way that the world sees it. But so often when we look at the lives of the saints, Saint Francis, one of my favorites, he was poor. He sold everything. And people at the time thought he was crazy. And we look back on him and we're like, oh, he's such an epic preacher. He's so prolific. Like, he rebuilt the church. But what if we were living at that time and the Lord asked us to do that? Would it have been too simple? Would it have been too hard? Would it have not been visible enough to the world? No one knew about these people until years and years later, and they were willing to lose their life. They were willing to suffer for the kingdom of God. They were willing to be unseen. Why? Because they loved God. They gave everything for love of him, and the Father dictated what their lives would look like, and it bore much fruit for the church. And so that answer or that question is going to us. Are we clinging on to our lives? Are we clinging on to who we want to be, to what we want greatness to look like, to the steps we want to take, to the career we want, to the spouse we want, all of these different things? Or are we surrendering and dying to our will so that God can bear much fruit for our life and so that we can keep our souls for eternal life? Because whoever loves his life in this world will lose it, but whoever hates it, whoever says, I'm detached from what I need in this life because I know that all I need is coming to me in eternal life. And so ask God, how can I detach from the things of this world? Where am I afraid to lose my life? And where can I receive more of the glory that you have for me? The glory of the Father, not earthly glory. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.